Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Heart of the Matter. It is a blessing, a great blessing, to have as my guest today Reverend Ivan Foster, a minister with the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster for 40 years and now retired. That is, no longer the pastor of a church, but still serving the Lord. In fact, our brother just recently did some preaching in Eastern Europe, and I thought all of you would enjoy hearing a report on that ministry. Ivan, as always, it is a real pleasure to welcome you to the Heart of the Matter.
Thank you, Ralph. It's nice once again to have the opportunity of sharing the airwaves with you.
Well, just recently you did a bit of traveling and preaching, and the reports I received, here and there I heard a sketchy report from you. Can you, before you maybe tell a little bit about the churches you were in and the brethren and anything you want to share, where did you travel and what cities did you preach in?
Well, I traveled to the Czech Republic, as it's now called. We used to know it as Czechoslovakia, but you know, recent times Slovakia formed its own independent state, so now it's just the Czech Republic. And from there we traveled by train down into Romania to link up with a young man with whom I have had contact by the internet for a number of years, about 3 years I think it is, who is laboring to establish a separatist witness in the city of Oradea. Now, in the Czech Republic, we were way up in the northern part, in two towns principally, Jablonec and Liberec. And those of your listeners who will remember the history of the Second World War, and I'm sure there are plenty, will remember the Sudetenland, that territory within the old Czechoslovakia, which Hitler invaded and claimed for himself because he said it was really part of Germany, that had been given away following the closure of the First World War and the various movement of borders that took place as a result of the agreement of Versailles. And it's in within the Sudetenland area that we were visiting these two towns, Jablonec and Liberec.
Well, let's start. I mean, go back to the start of your journey then, and could you just tell us a little bit about each place you were? And anything that comes to mind with the brethren you'd like to share? Of course, these are countries and areas and cities and people that suffered much over the last decades with World War II and communism, and, well, not to mention World War I. Of course, Europe has always been just a cauldron of conflict. But tell us about this trip, and just start at the beginning and go to the end.
Well, it's quite a number of years ago, while in Canada, visiting the Toronto Free Presbyterian Church, that I met a young man, Miloš Šulc, who was born in Czechoslovakia, but had moved to Canada, actually with his father, who was a Baptist pastor. His father received a call to a Czech congregation in Toronto. And after being there, I think it was about 10 years, his father returned to take up a congregational post as pastor in Prague. But Miloš stayed on, married, raised a family. But about 3 or 4 years ago, was called of God to return to his native land. And it's a marvelous story he has to tell how he was called of God to serve the Lord as a Free Presbyterian missionary in the Czech Republic. And Miloš visited Ulster back around about April, May, and we spoke on the phone, and as he was talking about the labours there, my heart couldn't help but be stirred and warmed, and I said, Miloš, could I visit you? And he was very enthusiastic. So for that reason, my wife and I decided, well, we'll spend 3 weeks over there, 2 weeks with Miloš, and we couldn't go that far without also making contact with a young man that you have had on your program, Doreen Mottio. So that's how we came about visiting the Czech Republic, and we arrived just at the end of May in the city of Prague, met by Miloš, and drove some hour to where he lived. Now, I quickly tried to learn something of the history of the gospel in the Czech Republic. There was a slaughter of some 27 Protestant noblemen back in 1621, which led to the subjugation of Protestantism in Czechoslovakia under Roman Catholicism, and that prevailed right up until the 1800s. And some Czech converts in the United States who were Baptists must have pioneered a missionary cause in their native land. And toward the end of the 1800s, there was commenced a Baptist witness in Czechoslovakia. I think it would be true to say there was mostly Arminian in doctrine, but nevertheless, there was a witness for the Lord and his word in the land. And that continued on through the years of the First World War and the Second World War, and then had to suffer under communism. And Ralph, you and I have no idea of what it is like and what a people have to face and come to terms with when living under such a regime as communism. I remember as a young man listening to the reports on the radio of the 1968, the Czech Rising, Czech Spring, I think they might have called it.
Prague Spring, I think it was.
Prague Spring, and feeling deeply vexed at the response of my own country, the United Kingdom, and the U.S., in sort of holding off and just letting the poor folks there be crushed by Russian tanks, etc. And so I've had that interest, and I wanted to visit the people, and so we were delighted and seized the opportunity. Now, that Baptist witness at present would suffer as a result of the ending of communism and the opening of the borders and the influx of American money and American influence, which was anything but fundamentalist. And I think it would be true to say, I hesitate, my knowledge is limited, and I freely acknowledge that, but I think I'm right in saying that the church today, the Baptist church today in the Czech Republic, would be very, very much under the influence of new evangelicalism and contemporary worship, and that watered-down gospel that goes with that particular scene. Miloš, being aware of that, and is one of the reasons why he was exercising his soul concerning his native land, he, upon arriving in the Czech Republic, met with folk in his own native area that he would have known, and discussions began, and he began to tell them and explain to them what was going on in the world and what was happening, and the people sort of being cut off and lacking information assumed that new evangelicalism, etc., well, that was just the norm. That's Bible Christianity in the world today. So Miloš was testifying to the fact that that is not the case. And even elders of one church in Jablonets met with him and had discussions with him in his home regarding separation and worldliness, because they were aware of the fact that things are not just as they ought to be. And there was in the church that agitation, that spirit of unrest with developments and trends. And two young men who were youth leaders, actually, upon hearing Miloš speak on one occasion in a gathering, it was a more or less a private gathering. It wasn't a church gathering, although all the young people were from various Baptist churches. But unplanned, Milosz was asked to give his testimony and explain what he was doing in the Czech Republic. So he did that, and he took up the issue of contemporary music and worship and new evangelicalism and so forth. And these two young men, who were head and shoulders into the whole contemporary scene, were stopped in their tracks, mm-hmm. and their souls were gripped. And from that day, they became deeply exercised about the matter. And after some time, they began to, as it were, reform their own lives and seek to reform the young people's fellowship that they were over, and stopped the form of music that at that time was current, you know, the guitars, yeah. the drums, the banging and the clattering and so forth that is associated with contemporary worship. And that in turn, of course, heightened the whole debate and discussion within that particular church. Well, when I arrived on the scene, a Free Presbyterian minister and so forth, Milosz was approached and asked, would I speak in the church? And Milosz said only if certain conditions were met, and he said that we wouldn't, that is he and myself, would not find contemporary worship suitable nor tolerated, and so that had to not be the case. So they actually offered, well, look, you lead the meeting. You take over the meeting and lead the meeting whatever way you wish, but we would just like to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Well, Milosz said, no, that just wouldn't entirely be appropriate. Just have a regular hymn singing, prayer offering service. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened. And on the Friday night, just after I arrived, I was asked to give my testimony and tell of my conversion and my affiliation with the Free Presbyterian Church. And then I was asked again if I would then speak to the whole congregation on the Sabbath morning. And again, that the same terms were applied, and the service was a perfectly regular meeting. And I preached on Eliezer, the son of Dodo, or the making of a mighty man for God, the man who battled, as you know, mm-hmm. with the enemy over a parcel of ground in which there grew some barley. I think my sermons are on the internet mm-hmm. On this subject. And I was pointing out, you see, how that a man of God will count even the smallest parcel of God's heritage worth dying for. He will not give up one atom of truth, no matter what the price may be. And I was having a go at contemporary music and the whole new evangelical scene, and showing that that's not in keeping with the teaching of the Word of God. And, of course, touched upon the whole subject of separation. Well, not going into too many details, there was a bit of a reaction to the service and the absence of contemporary music, and I think the elders came in for a bit of criticism from some elements within the congregation. But nevertheless, what we had to say seemed to stir the interest of the elders even further, and we met with them the next day, which was Monday. They all gathered in Milosz's house and asked me to talk to them about what the Bible teaches on separation. So I spent about 2 hours talking with them, and really was helped of God, if I may say that, and pressed upon them what exactly separation was, and how that it was, in essence, the very purpose of God for his people, and it therefore was the purpose of the devil to destroy the people's separation from the world and from sin and from wickedness unto God. The devil would undermine that if he could. And the elders left, and just before they left, they again asked me if I would speak to the young people. So I said, yes, I will. I will speak to them on the subject of why young people should study prophetic scripture. And I met on a Saturday afternoon, and I spoke to them, giving them warnings of the great apostasy that the prophetic scriptures set forth, and saying, you need to learn about this. Because if, as is the case, the great apostasy is all around us, well, you need to take note of what it is God says about it, so that you don't become contaminated by it. And we had a very profitable time as we applied the truth. So my final meeting in the area, because I didn't only speak in that particular Baptist church, that was an unexpected event. I was speaking for Milosz, both in a midweek service at his own home and a Sabbath service in the afternoon at 5 o'clock in a rented room. I spoke for him twice. And in the final meeting that I had with Milosz, I spoke very plainly on separation. And it was at the end of that meeting that the struggle which the two former youth leaders in that Baptist church were having with the issues of worldliness and new evangelicalism and contemporary worship came to a head. And they came to a decision, and they announced it to at least one of the elders present at that evening service that they were going to separate from the church and join the Free Presbyterian Witness.
Oh.
And now, these are lovely lads. Yeah. I can't commend them enough. One's 21, who's finished 1 year of university, but is deeply exercised in his soul about finding a Bible college where he can prepare for the ministry, because he is most unhappy in the environment of the university. And the other one has just finished training as a lawyer, university course, to be a lawyer. Both of them are within the last 12 months, I think it is, for that's when Milosz spoke to that group of young people by invitation and witnessed against contemporary music. Those young fellows took to the internet, got themselves in contact with the writings of the reformers and the Puritans, and devoured them. These guys would get their hands on a book and within 2 days would have a Puritan volume read, and not merely read, but would be quoting it to you with joy and rapture as they discovered the glorious treasures that are to be found in such volumes. So these are lovely lads, and 21 and 23, mm-hmm. and they made a break. I have to tell you that the younger of them, 21-year-old, as soon as he announced at home that he was leaving, he was ordered out of the home and told he had to leave the home, which I can't understand. I mean, these are parents belong to this particular Baptist church. So I just can't understand how, well, even if they weren't Christians, how they could order their son, a delightful young man, out. But they have done that, and they have persisted in that. And I understand that maybe even this week he is actually moving out of his home and finding some temporary accommodation.
So he's standing firm.
He's standing firm.
And these two young men, we can have hope that the Lord will use them greatly in that area of the world.
Yes. I think that
that's very encouraging.
Joining Milosz will greatly strengthen his hand, because that's the one thing he did not have in the little group that, that he had gathered together, was youth and fire.
Yeah.
Fire.
Yeah.
And also, they're well-educated, intelligent lads, speak English very, very well indeed, and as I say, devour the old writings of godly men, and are rejoicing in them. You saw them, you know, their faces in rapture at the blessing of the Lord that has come into their life. So,
well, that's the Holy Spirit at work.
They have this hunger and thirst
for truth.
To be quite honest, you know the life, the ministry I have pursued, which is always sort of involved in pioneer work. My wife and I could have just said, right, I think we'll just stay here in this situation, because, you know, I just so rejoiced in this, the beginnings, the laying of foundations, and the cutting down of the undergrowth and let's start working. I was thrilled by it. So that when we left, we did leave with a degree of satisfaction and thankfulness that after all the years of communism and the subjugation of a gospel witness in Czechoslovakia and the curtailing of it, as took place under communism, God was working. God hadn't forgotten the prayers of his people and was working. Well, so then we headed for Romania.
Yeah, could you give us a sort of a brief overview of that before we move to this other subject
sure.
for a bit?
Well, it entailed traveling all day by train, and we actually traversed through a number of countries, Slovakia and Hungary, and down into Romania to a northern city there called Oradea. And there we met up with Florin Motiu. And Florin has taken a stand. He separated from what is the largest Baptist church in Europe, in Oradea, and over the same issues as Miloš Šulc was facing in the Czech Republic, new evangelicalism and that whole scene. I held four meetings with him. He had me give my testimony the day after I arrived and tell of the stand, the Free Presbyterian stand, the separated stand, and its early battles against ecumenism. The next day he had me up near the Hungarian border, speaking in a little old church. And my heart melted. Oh, boy. My heart melted. There was poverty there and deprivation. And I was meeting folks that were so reminiscent, you know, to what I saw in my boyhood here in Ireland, in the depths and heart of the country folks. They actually are Hungarian-speaking people. The village once was part of Hungary and after the Second World War, borders redrawn and so forth. So they speak still Hungarian. And there were some gypsy lads in. They came on a horse and cart. It was heart-moving. And again, God came down. I just preached the gospel. There were about eight or nine people in who were not saved. Elderly people, along with these gypsy lads, one of whom was saved, and his face was beaming. And the Lord helped me preach just the gospel. I preached on the healing of Naaman and how he felt that the way of redemption was to go to the king with a fortune, etc. And that's just what men do. They don't accept the gospel message. That can't be the way. I've got to do something. I've got to pay something. I've got to go to some great man, surely. And I really had a good time speaking on that subject. That, again, it's on the internet. And then the next day, I spoke on the doctrine of salvation at length to a gathering of Florine's people. It was about, 15. There, 15 or 20, and he translated for me, and we had a really good time, because Arminianism is the problem, and Florine's a Reformed Baptist by doctrine, and he wanted his people to hear this truth. Then the last meeting, I spoke on separation again. He was so keen on me to tell the people, this is what God's Word teaches, that there is no knowledge of separation. Leaving your church, as you can understand, that psychic that would have been created under communism. You didn't split, you didn't divide, you didn't make any division known in public. You presented a united face, and therefore the idea of separating is alien to them and difficult for them to comprehend. So we taught from the Bible that truth again, and at the end of my preaching, Florine spoke for about 15-20 minutes and applied the doctrine of separation that I had just set before them to the situation in which they found themselves. That they had to make up their mind. They had to make up their mind. They couldn't have a foot in each camp, his camp, which was a separated camp, and the camp of the church from which he had withdrawn. Well, following that, he sent me a lovely email when we came home, for we left just a day or so after that meeting. saying that under the Lord's providence, our meetings had resulted in them pressing ahead with a Sunday morning meeting, which was going to be set up in opposition to the regular Baptist church, mm-hmm. big Baptist church meeting. And they had six people meeting with them. And there were two young men, one of them's married with a family, that live about 100 kilometers away, at least that. And they were deeply exercised, and I believe that they're almost the counterpart of the two young fellows that we met up in the Czech Republic. Mm-hmm. And I'm praying that even though they're a long distance away, that somehow or other there will be a coming together and a strengthening of that separated, that tiny separated work that Florine is pioneering and leading.
Well, we'll ask people to pray about that very thing.
They must pray for that. We have no idea of the difficulties those people encounter compared to the freedoms we enjoy.
Yeah.